Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. You might have read or heard about the story, The Boy Who Cried Wolf by Aesop. In this story, a shepherd boy lies and fools villagers into thinking a wolf is attacking the village sheep. Eventually, after many similar incidents, the villagers come to understand the boy is lying to them. Later, when a wolf does make an appearance and attacks the village sheep, the villagers believe the boy is once again lying and take no action, resulting in the sheep being eaten by the wolf. The conclusion of the Greek version of the story is that the reward for liars is, even when they tell the truth, nobody believes them. Lies come in all shapes and sizes and frequently involve money and other things of value. Take, for example, the Ponzi scheme, named after an Italian con artist, Charles Ponzi. He designed a scheme, a lie, that misled investors to thinking profits were made from the investment opportunity instead of coming from additional investors. The money paid out as profits were actually recent investments made by new investors, meaning in the end, many people would lose a good deal of money on the scheme. Charles Ponzi lived in the late 1800s through the mid-1900s, and the scheme named after him had been around for a while. Charles Dickens used this type of scheme in some of his books long before Mr. Ponzi was born, and other people had used this lie to defraud people out of money. At the heart and core of the scheme is a lie, that a large amount of money could be made. And that gets coupled with coveting, which will be the topic of next week's sermon. Lies have been around since the beginning of time for people. When Jesus was debating the Pharisees and people of Jerusalem, they claimed to be the children of Abraham. Jesus reminded them that he had told them the truth, and that unlike Abraham, they sought to kill him. He also explained that if they were the children of Abraham, they would do what Abraham would have done. The Pharisees and people countered what Jesus said by claiming he was born of fornication. Today, these people would have said Jesus was a bastard child. They also claimed to be the children of God, which Jesus rejected. He told them that their father was the devil because they did the lusts of the devil. Jesus explained that from the beginning, the devil was a murderer and liar, calling Satan the devil, the father of lies. John 8, verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. If we want to understand why Jesus would call the devil the father of lies, we only need to travel in time through the pages of the Bible to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent is described as more subtle than any beast of the field. In order for a lie to work, it must be believable. So there is a need for subtlety and deception. In the account from Genesis, the subtlety and deception begins with the serpent asking a question that seems to agree with Eve's understanding of the situation by asking if God really said they couldn't eat of every tree of the garden. Eve confirmed this to be true, explaining they could not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil lest they die. And the serpent would have expected this type of response. Immediately, the serpent challenged a small portion of Eve's understanding that they would die, telling them that they would not die. From the perspective of a lie, this was a safe lie for the serpent to give. If Adam and Eve did not immediately die, the lie would only be reinforced. And if they did immediately die, they wouldn't be around to challenge the serpent on the lie. So from the serpent's perspective, there was nothing to lose in telling this lie. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Through history, in the pages of the Bible, lies have been told to commit acts of evil. When Naboth owned a vineyard adjacent to a palace and rebuffed the efforts of King Ahab to lawfully acquire the land, Ahab's wife Jezebel schemed to tell a lie about Naboth that would cause him to be put to death. Once he was dead, it would be easy for Ahab to seize the land. 1 Kings 21, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad, that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out, and stone him, that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had said unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. They carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. Lies followed some into the early church. When the early church was raising money, many sold possessions and gave the proceeds to the church. Ananias and Sapphira decided to do the same, except they withheld some of the money from the property. Their lie stemmed from claiming they were giving all the money from the property sale to the church. Had they been honest up front and said something like they were only giving half or one-fourth of the money to the church, there would have been no lie. But they probably wanted to seem like they were generous. And so in their eyes, they were fine with the appearance of being more generous than they were, never considering that this type of deception fell into the broad category of lie. Peter confronted them about lying to the Holy Spirit, first with Ananias and then with Sapphira, and when challenged, both died. Acts 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me, whither ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. When Stephen was stoned to death, that was preceded by a series of lies, told by false witnesses, who claimed that Stephen was committing blasphemy through what he continually said. They then used a tactic similar to how the serpent tricked Eve, by weaving lies into elements of the truth. For instance, when they claimed that Stephen said Jesus would destroy the temple, what Jesus said was that the temple would be destroyed, so destruction of the temple was an element of truth. When they spoke of the customs of Moses, they neglected to add that Jesus emphasized doing what God and not man commanded. The lies of these false witnesses contained elements of the truth. Acts 6, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses which said, This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. The ninth commandment tells us simply to not bear false witness against our neighbor, to not lie. Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Just like we use the phrase shading the truth, lies can come in many different forms, such as knowingly providing false information. It's especially bad when false information becomes the basis for harm to come to another person, such as in a civil or criminal matter. It's equally bad to jump in on a group effort to do any type of wrong, including lying. Exodus 23, verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. The words false witness causes me to think of a courtroom where a person is giving evidence to the court. And the testimony of any witness is going to be limited by their memory. Some people's memories are better able to recall the exact sequence and timing of an event, like a car accident, and other people might have memories better suited to describing what a person looked like and was wearing. Witnesses can and do confuse details in their memory, and it's important for them to be cross-examined to determine if there is any basis for the jury to establish reasonable doubt, which in the United States is the legal basis for a verdict of not guilty. What is more insidious is when a witness or group of witnesses decides to purposely and convincingly lie to the court. The Bible teaches us that multiple witnesses establish the facts of what happened and even prescribes a punishment for witnesses who deliberately lie, where the false witness gets the punishment that was intended for the defendant. Within some communities, there are concerns about witnesses falsely reporting and testifying on the details of what happened. There's a nonprofit called the Innocence Project that has as its work the overturning of miscarriages of justice for people who've been convicted of crimes and were given life sentences of life imprisonment or death. Sometimes bad evidence was used in trial, but sometimes it seems like something shady happened by the prosecution. What the Bible shows is, if it can be proven what happened was deliberate, that the witnesses get the intended punishment of the defendant. If the biblical standard were applied to law enforcement, district attorneys, and witnesses, people accused of crimes would be less likely to face a false witness. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. and thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. When Jesus was brought in front of the Sanhedrin before his crucifixion, there were many false witnesses accusing him. The accounts of Mark and Matthew show that it took work to finally find enough witnesses to hit that at the mouth of two or three witnesses a matter will be established standard. Mark's account shows there were many false witnesses, but there was still lacking agreement to meet that standard. Mark 14, verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with them were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Matthew explains that after many false witnesses presented testimony, that finally two false witnesses provided testimony close enough together that the standard of two or three witnesses was met. Matthew 26, verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Jesus had taught that what is considered sin, including lying, starts in the heart. Matthew 15, verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. In his first letter, John expands the concept of what is a lie to include the alignment of our beliefs and practices. He shows that if we believe, it is essential to do or not do things aligned to what we believe. And if how we live our life reflects a different standard, then we are living a lie. We all have those situations in our life where we are overcoming, and we recognize the need to reach for a higher standard of character to be part of our life. Reaching for that higher standard of righteousness and recognizing we have not yet attained that higher standard of righteousness is not what John is talking about. John is talking about making claims of a righteous lifestyle while living a lifestyle of unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 5. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. John added to his teachings by explaining that it is through Jesus Christ we have an advocate with God the Father who died for our sins and the sins of the entire world. He reminds us of the need to do what Jesus taught, to walk as Jesus walked, who did what God the Father expected of him. If we claim to be Christian and do not do what Jesus taught, he tells us that would make us liars. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Later, in that same first letter, John explains that there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world. He uses the terms Antichrist and spirit of error. Those terms all require a lie. Without a lie, there can be no false prophet, Antichrist, or spirit of error. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Jesus explained that spiritual lies would be prevalent during the end time, with false Christs and false prophets who are so convincing with their lies, they would almost deceive the very elect. Matthew 24, verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We can read of false witnesses in the Psalms and read of God's deliverance from false witnesses. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Proverbs tells us there are many things that God hates, and lying is one of them. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. The proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Proverbs also reminds us that truth is eternal, but that lies are only good for the moment. For example, a person who repays what is borrowed as agreed will find it much easier in the future to borrow money again compared to the person who only lies about repaying money. Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Those who lie eventually will be discovered and punished. Proverbs 19, verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. A lie can be weaponized and be used to bring harm to another person. We are reminded to not put our confidence in an unfaithful person and to instead be kind to our enemies. Proverbs 25, verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, and a sword, and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth, and a foot out of joint. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and has vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. instead of lying and taking oaths to affirm a stance against lying, Jesus taught that we need to do what we say we are going to do. When we say yes, our actions need to align with yes. And when we say no, our actions need to align with no. Matthew 5, verse 33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy hand, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. If we want to find a place of truth, we need to go no further than the Word of God, which is written for us in the pages of the Bible. That which contradicts what is written in the Bible is therefore a lie. So it is important that we know what is in the Bible more so than what others say is in the Bible. Because while the Bible does not lie, people can lie about what is in the Bible. John 17, verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We need to be like the Bereans, who searched the scriptures daily to prove what was written. Acts 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all the readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. Just like the Word of God is truth, God cannot lie. With God, there is no need for us to consider that God would lie to us. Any debate or argument about the veracity of the Bible or the truthfulness of God is a lie. Titus 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Religious lies come through philosophy, deceit, and traditions. Religious truth comes through God and Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Paul reminded the Ephesians to not lie, instead speaking the truth with others. We live in a world that is based on lies and shades of lies, complicating everything. The truth might not always be as pretty as a lie, but the truth will always be much simpler than a lie. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Finally, to the Thessalonians, Paul encouraged them to build up a community of faith by focusing not only on the interactions within the community of faith, but by having each person within the community of faith focus on their own spiritual growth, including to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. That tells us that as spiritually mature Christians, we must be able to discern between spiritual truth and falsehoods. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Satan is the father of lies and quickly told a lie to Eve by shading the truth. We cannot be liars, nor can we align our practices to anything that does not align to the Word of God, which is truth. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.